So I know it says Mark 15:33-34. He's hilarious. I'm actually going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 27, and I'll be reading verses 45-46. It's actually very similar. So Matthew 27:45-46. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time. Father, we do pray as we continue to embrace your word, Father, that you would continue to speak to us afresh, continue to speak through those who are presenting your word, that we might be ever hearing, Father, that we might leave here different than the way we came in. And we also pray, Lord, that above all else, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, these verses are... what do you say? Kind of had this element of mysteriousness, if you will. I say that because here it is, you have, as Matthew describes Jesus, you have the Son of Man suffering. Suffering is one of those things that I feel we don't always know what to do in the midst of suffering. In the midst of pain, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of times of distress. And here it is, you have Jesus, he's suffering. And he's suffering not because of something that he's done, but in essence something that his people have done. And he's fulfilling, he's accomplish the Father's will for what his people have done in terms of God's redemptive plan for all of humanity. Suffering, not always the easiest to deal with. Jesus uses a word, he says forsaken, which means abandoned. It also means deserted. Have anybody here been abandoned before, deserted? It's quite challenging, if you will. It's interesting because here it is, you have Jesus, the faithful one, the sinless one, who's being forsaken by the Father. He's experiencing what is known as God's forsakenness. Quite interesting. He quotes Psalm 22. And he quotes the opening verse. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's quite fascinating because in one sense, he's quoting the initial verse of the psalm, but actuality, he has the whole psalm in mind. Early in Matthew, one of the things Matthew describes is he tells us about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by Satan in Matthew 4. And one of the things that we discover there is one of the things Satan tries to do, the enemy tries to do, is shortcut the process of Jesus going through what we are speaking about today. He's trying to help him or influence him, deceive him to shortcut the process of suffering. And I think this is a tendency, an inclination of humans, is to try to shortcut the process of suffering. Anytime we ever suffer, anytime we ever had to go through any distress or pain, the tendency is to try to find anything we can do to shortcut that process. And one of the things I discover is that suffering knows no age. Suffering knows no race. Suffering knows no person. You have in the psalmist, he's suffering. But then now you have the Son of Man who is also suffering. And the easy thing to say at this point is, if Jesus suffered, what makes us think that we would not suffer ourselves. But he's suffering. He's experiencing God's forsakenness. And it's quite remarkable when we actually begin to just ponder on these words. Because I don't think we know what to do with these words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Has the Holy One, the Faithful One, the Righteous One, truly forsaken his Son? It's a question I think we have to ponder on. And although Jesus is experiencing forsakenness, one of the things that's amazing is, yet he's trusting. If you read that entire psalm, and I believe Jesus has this entire psalm in mind, is although he's crying out with this loud voice that God has forsaken him, he's trusting in God in the very midst of adversity. He's trusting that God, the faithful one, the one whom has heard the fathers before, the ancestors cry before, would also hear his cry. And he's entrusting himself, even on the cross, as his arms are extended, he's trusting that the Father is hearing his cry, that the Father will not completely abandon him. Not only is in the midst of being forsaken, is he trusting, but he's also praying. Typically, oftentimes, if you will, one of the things I've learned is that kind of try to hear the Psalms as Jesus is praying. And here it is, you have Jesus on the cross as he's being forsaken, yet he's praying. In your midst of adversity, do you seek, do you trust God? Do you pray to him? Or do you seek another source? Here it is, in the midst of this adversity Jesus is experiencing, he's trusting himself into the Father's hands. He's praying to the Father. Quite interesting. Not only is Jesus trusting or praying to the Father in the midst of being forsaken, but he's obeying the Father. Quite interesting. Because my tendency is, if you forsake me, I forsake you. That's my human inclination. I don't know about you. Maybe you're perfect and you don't have that. And so, yet, he's obeying. How can you be obedient to someone who has forsaken you? It's quite interesting. I don't think we know what to do with it. But I think Jesus embodies something for us, that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of distress, we ought to be ones who are trusting. We ought to be ones who are praying. We ought to be ones who are being obedient to the very word of God. And it's amazing that although he's being forsaken, yet he's not destroyed. The Father has not allowed his Son to see decay. Although he's been forsaken, he is not abandoned forever. Although he's being forsaken, he is not forgotten. And so I hope that as you hear this, more than anything, hear that in the midst of your adversity, in the midst of your suffering, know that you're not destroyed. Know that God will not abandon you forever. And please know that he has not forgotten about you. And that he hears your cries. Jesus' words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How do we know that the Father has heard him? Because truly we realize that he has vindicated his Son. Because death was not the final say. Death was not the final say. Suffering, forsakenness, that's not the final say. It may seem like that in the moment, but it's not the final. And sometimes I believe that one of the things in the temptation here, even on the cross, is to somehow shortcut the process. And so oftentimes we want to shortcut the process and get right to the promise. So I pray, I hope that God would empower you, God would strengthen you not to abandon the process. Because the temptation here, the temptation in the wilderness, is to somehow to shortcut actually going to the cross. Because all Jesus had to do was turn the stones into bread. That's all he had to do. All he had to do was take a leap from the temple. That's all he had to do. All he had to do was bow down and worship Satan. And all of these troubles that he had to endure, he wouldn't have to do it. He wouldn't have had to gone through it. But one of the things it would have destroyed God's plan, God's redemptive plan for humanity. And so I pray, I hope that you know and that God is faithful and that God, even in your moments of distress and anguish, that God has the power to vindicate you just like he has the power and had the power to vindicate his son. You may have come here feeling forsaken, but I pray that through the cross, through what we all are talking about and experiencing tonight, is that Jesus was forsaken that we might be forgiven.